Welcome back to another episode of the Millennial Gems Podcast. I'm your host, K-I-L-L-A, and today, at the top of the year, a very special guest with us today. I would like to consider this guy right here, I would say almost like a mentor in a way to me. You know, as I've taken my journey through the fitness industry, I would say this is actually he's the Michael Jordan to my Kobe, is what I would like to call him. So, you know, this guy, entrepreneur, CEO, strongman, bodybuilder, former bodybuilder, athlete, husband,
current triathlete, old husband,
Spartan. Yep. This man do everything, Spartan. Man. So he got a lot of titles. But anyway, I want to introduce y'all to Nathaniel Young. What's going on, my guy?
What's going on, guys? Mr. LTI here. Former just Mr. LTI. There's a Mrs. LTI now, so I can't just speak for myself no more. You know, it's a family unit here, but I'm excited to be here. Well, thank you for taking time to listen to us here at the Millennial Gems Podcast. This is my first podcast, so, you know, this is going to be fun. And, you know, I'm excited to, you know, again, give back and almost pioneer in a way. Be one of the founding members of Millennial Gems. Be one of the first people that gets to record on this podcast for this year and also for the great beginning. So congratulations to Killa too, because last time I checked, this is a multi-business owner. So, you know, he gave you my resume. Let me give you his resume, because he's not just Alpha Killa. There's layers to Alpha Killa. There's Alpha Killa Athletics. And that was truthfully the original AK Killa. We are now well-being. We moved past AK. It is well-being athletics. And then on top of that, it is also Millennial Gems.
I've quite a few transitions, but you know, and believe me, I wouldn't have gone through those transitions had it not been for you. To be honestly, you're honestly the person who actually sparked me to kind of take on like this journey here. You know, to really, you know, like establish like a brand or kind of like really like establish like who I am and like what I want my mission to be, you know, on this planet. So, you know,
awesome. I'm glad I could help you with that. You know, as I've always told you, you know, you have to, when it comes to, you know, being a business owner, an entrepreneur, you know, the first thing, you have to know who your customer is. That's like, that was one of our first conversations we ever had, was who is your actual customer? I remember I asked you three times in a row. I gave you three chances, and you know, you gave me like, you, I was like, well, who's your customer? And you just like, right. Oh, well, you know, I'm going for athletes. I was like, yeah, okay. Who is your customer? And it was, I remember like I caught you there, because you were like, well, it could really be anybody. It's like, it has, there are key things you look for when you're trying to build a business. And number one is understanding, you know, who that customer is. What does that customer look like? You know, what is their life scenario? Like, what is the story? I mean, the story should all be pretty consistent. And then once you know who that customer is, then you know what product they would like, what product they would need, and that's what product's going to answer a problem that they currently have. You become that person's solution, per se. And then it becomes very easy to sell and have them buy into what you're selling.
Absolutely. So, yeah, you know, I had this conversation with Dre, I think, a few weeks ago, you know, just really making sure, you know, like establishing like who your audience is. Yeah. Because, you know, more people you help, the, you know, the bigger you'll become. Mm-hmm. But let's get into it. So first thing I always like to ask, you know, every guest, you know, you're the first one being at the top of the year. I always like to kind of just gauge, you know, what's happened in maybe, you know, like the past like 6 months or maybe even like the past 30 days for you. But so far we're about like, what? Nah, we're about 8 days into the year so far. So
yeah.
You could probably just talk about maybe like the last like 6 months of like 2022. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how are you feeling physically, mentally, and you know, how's the brand been? Like, how has LTI been?
Absolutely.
Over the past 6 months.
Absolutely. So I'll take it actually in two. I'll take it in two strides. So how LTI has been, and then how I've been. So for the past 6 months, actually, I've been doing a lot better than I was. You know, as you know, I'm newly married. For those who don't know, I'm newly married. I got married in February of 2022. So it's already coming up on like my 1 year anniversary, which is crazy. It's been that fast. Mm. But you know, where I was about 6 months ago, things were honestly starting to click. I was starting to, one, understand my wife more, which, you know, helps. Communication is key. I was starting to understand what I need to do to, you know, be my best self. And in regards to being my best self is what helps me truly be healthy. So a lot of people also don't know, and this is where part two comes into play, when I met my wife and I decided that this is who I wanted to marry, she was already actually leaving Boston. She was going to move to Florida for good. And it's like, you know, we had just got, I'd really starting to got to know her. And, you know, I was like, this is definitely the woman, because I just knew right off the bat. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, I'm not going to lose this. You know, I have to explore the unknown. In Boston, I know if I put enough work in, if I put the hours in and I grow the business, I could absolutely grow the business and I can eventually scale it. That's something that is very much, I can see that. You only get love, you know, love comes around once and you never know. That was the unknown for me, and that I gravitated towards that. So my choice to personally dissolve my business on paper and leave LTI, it was a hard decision for me. And, you know, when I dissolved it and I left LTI in Boston, I was a little bit lost for, you know, the first few months living here in Florida. I was lost probably for like the last, not 6 months, but up until like that 6 month mark, I was pretty lost, confused. I wasn't doing strongman anymore. I wasn't training clients anymore. I have a regular 9-to-5 now, but I was trying to find out, well, I still love this. This is still my passion. I definitely want to go back to it one day, but I have to do it in a different, and it has to be different, you know, because that's not about me anymore. I can't do what I used to do when I was just a single person. I have another person to think about. I have a family now. So how do I let that part of LTI grow is where I'm at. You know, how does LTI evolve? You know, how does LTI evolve with all my new roles, my new responsibilities, my new blessings, being able to just leave and then start fresh all over in a new state. Not everybody gets to do that. You know, that's a great opportunity just then and there. How do I learn to, how do I exercise again? You know, how do I put myself in the same shoes all my clients used to be in, you know, doing the 9-to-5, and then how do you still find time to exercise and be healthy? Like you kind of get to experiment. Well, how do I actually use my process, but on myself? And then that's kind of where I started to find gaps or things that I would improve. So it's like, I'm working on essentially what I want LTI to become. Because I loved LTI as much as I loved it. It had its flaws. It has things that I would love to do over. And now having the experience, having the growth, and then also having the support of my wife, I know it's ultimately very possible when the right time comes. You know, for now, I definitely probably wouldn't. I can't give it away when I'll be bringing LTI back. But I can say for sure when LTI does come back to the table, LTI will be, God willing, much more polished, much more refined. And it won't just be Nate. There will be a whole team in place if I do bring LTI back. So, you know. It. Yeah.
Spoken, so it shall happen.
Got to speak it into existence. You know, and you know with me, when there's no words coming out of my, you already know something's coming. It just pops up and then boom, there it is.
No, absolutely. That's the way to work. Just work in silence and then just magically appear out of nowhere.
Yep. Absolutely.
All right. So if for those who don't know that, you know, this is a self-improvement podcast. So how do you get 1% better every day? Mm-hmm. And what tactics, what resources are you doing every day to you know, really, you know, become a better man, become a better husband.
Yeah, absolutely. Better athlete. Well, absolutely, better athlete. I'll take all three in strides. I'll start with the easiest one. When it comes to being a better athlete, the biggest thing is education. Understanding what sport you're doing, understanding what you want your body to do, you know, come, you know, race day or, you know, event day, understanding the ins and outs. What is actually needed? What are the tasks at hand? So when I think about triathlon, it's three disciplines. You have your swim, you have your bike, and then you have your run. So all three of those have to be trained. And to effectively do them, you also have to, in conjunction, eat the right things. What I used to eat as a strong man didn't work when I tried to start doing triathlon training. I was actually finding myself gaining weight, trying to eat the same way I used to eat, but training like a triathlete. And it was mind-boggling because I'd say, man, I just had a week full of volume and I'm up 3 pounds. I'm pushing almost 220. And it was like, I have to learn more. I have to educate myself. So that involves buying books. That involves going back to the books, studying the books, figuring out what other great coaches have taught and figuring out what that means for me and applying it to my life. So waking up at a certain time, eating foods I never ate before, you know, learning new ways of training. I don't know I'm sure, you know, you're still obviously coaching, but there's been you've heard of the 80-20 principle. I never use the 80-20 principle ever in any of my training facets. So actually applying that has been humbling. I mean, when you really take 80-20 seriously, that is hard. You know, that is extremely hard to do.
I'd be honest, I don't even think I might have like learned it like early on, but I've like kind of like never, I'm going to say for myself, honestly, I've kind of neglected it for quite some time. Like it only wasn't until like maybe 2020, 2021 that I kind of like really started like thinking, okay, maybe I need to implement this. Like maybe I need to actually absolutely start taking this more serious. Like,
and it is so, what's so hard about it is it takes a long time to get good at 80-20. I have been in the 80-20 method now about 4 months and I'm just now starting to see my mile time start to go down. But for the longest, my mile times went up. I mean, I remember at my slowest, I was at a 14:50, like 14. I'm like, I could walk faster than this to keep my, it took time. You know, it's one of those things. Once you take the time and you get it, it's like, wow, this is really good. Like, you know, this morning, I had a 20-mile bike ride and then I had to hop off and do a 5K, which is, you know, called brick training in triathlon.
Right.
Being able to keep my heart rate below 150 for both those activities, that was when I was like, whoa, like, you know, it's actually working. Like I'm putting out these numbers, but my heart isn't working so hard. It's not spiking. I don't feel like I'm burning matches per se. So, you know, there's definitely value in it if it's your sport. But again, I wouldn't have learned that had I not, you know, done the research and come to understand what is being asked of me when I do a triathlon. What do I need to do? What do I need to eat? And that comes back to education with it. But, you know, as I said, that's the easy part. The hard part is about being a better person overall, you know, the outside of fitness and being a better husband. You know, the biggest aid for me, you know, and I'm gonna speak for myself, the biggest thing that's helped me improve as a person as well as a husband is the study of the Bible. I was actually baptized as Jehovah's Witness in the December of 2020. So I've been baptized about 2 years now. So a lot of my, you know, my spiritual growth, my spiritual progress and my growth as a husband, my ability to care for my family comes from the publications I read from JW.org, comes from daily Bible reading, personal prayer and meditation, and doing my research. You know, when I have questions about life, when I have questions about how can I be, you know, how can I connect with my wife better? How can I be a better communicator? I look to the scriptures. I try to find out and get God's opinion on how I can do that. So for me, I look to JW.org and I stick close to the organization. That's how I've improved.
Heard you. Oh, that's actually a very interesting answer. I don't think I've had somebody tell me that they've looked to the scriptures for self-improvement. So I'm glad you provided that.
Absolutely.
Okay. So take us, let's go back in time a little bit here. So take me back to the beginning, like when you kind of like got into the fitness, like the industry here, like when did you kind of like start training and like, when did you feel like, okay, this is a lane that I want to get in. And then like, I want to take it further. Take me back to like the beginning. Like when was it that you discovered fitness was like, this is my thing. Like this is the lane I'm trying to be in.
when that phrase "fitness is my passion" became like actual reality. I know the day, I can tell you the exact day. This goes back to 2009 actually. So in 2008, you know, I was going through a very large stint of depression with my life at the time. I wasn't doing very well in school academically, despite, you know, trying really hard and obviously, you know, seeking out the help of mentors and doing extra assignments at work. My grades really were poor, and that affected my personal confidence. That affected me on a mental note and an emotional level. I also, you know, my ego was bruised because, you know, I didn't find myself. I just felt like I was that goofy guy in OA. Like I was just kind of the nerdy and unattractive. Like no one's looking at this guy. I was checking for this guy, you know. You know what I'm saying? But you know, I said to myself, you know what? If I could at least look like I had strong, if I could look as strong as I wish I was, maybe then I'll believe I'm strong. So consequently, I fell in love with bodybuilding because, you know, bodybuilding is all about aesthetics and symmetry and, you know, looking strong. And for me, you know, it was like instant gratification. If I do this workout 3 days a week and I eat these meals, I always will look the way I want to look. And that happened. It's like it was a proven track record at age 16. When I trained a certain way, when I ate a certain way, I got results. I couldn't fix anything else in my life. I couldn't make girls like me. I couldn't make my grades better no matter how hard I studied. But if I went to the gym and I put in this work, I was going to have a bigger arm. I was going to have bigger thighs. I was going to have a wider chest. It was a guarantee. So naturally, I went towards what I was really good at and I kept doing it. And people started to notice that. And, you know, then all of a sudden, you know, you become the person. People come asking you questions. Hey, how'd you do that? Like, where'd you even come from? You know, how'd you get your chest to that size? How'd you lift? And then, you know, people start asking you these questions. You say, well, I'll show you. Like, you know, I do a push-up or I do a squat. And it's just like, well, you know, my shoulder, that kind of bothers my shoulder. And I say, well, I know we could figure something out. And then, you know, I go do research. So I say, well, what else, what could I help? What can make this person's chest bigger, but it's not going to affect their shoulder? And then I start reading all these books and I'm like, oh, well, what if I actually took those exercises and I used them on myself? So it became, you know, this thing where I just got obsessed with learning how I could develop the body, how you can manipulate, you know, power zones, how you can manipulate food, how you can use tools to create a physique, create what somebody wants, help somebody achieve something that they never had. I'll actually show you what I'm using to hold up my laptop. This is actually the first book that I was given by one of my coaches back in the day at age 17. I mean, most of us all know this from strength and conditioning.
I definitely remember that book.
Everyone who's done book strength and conditioning.
My God.
And the thing, I've had this book. I read that book cover to cover so many times at age 17. So I had that already marinating. So when it came to college, I mean, I'm like, we're reading this book again? Like, and then, you know, I remember one guy said, well, I'll pay you. And I was just like, what, you want to just work out with me? And I was like, fine. And yeah, I end up with like, I think it was at the time, $20. And, you know, I was like, I like making money, you know? So, I mean, sure, I'll tell people what to do, but you know, that was again, age 17. I didn't really have that business mindset. I was just kind of more amazed that, oh yeah, somebody would pay me to do something that I already love. And it never clicked like, hey, that actually could be a business, you know, one day, until I eventually ran into a person. I thank him every day for this. This guy, his name is Jarrett. He's a multi-business owner. He's also a property manager. So he's very business minded. And he told me that you have to understand, you have to learn how to market yourself. You have to not only learn how to market yourself, but understand the value you bring to people's lives with what you do. You inspire people to come take care of themselves. People don't come to you to work out. People come to you because they're inspired by you. They're inspired by how you conduct your sessions, how you are able to connect with them on a level that they can't do, they are not doing either already, or they've tried and they've failed. So you have to recognize that, you know, there's value in that. And when you have value, you can set a price point. And when you set your price point, you have to also be able to understand that, yes, not everybody's going to be able to afford it. Some people, it may be too expensive for them, and that's okay. This is how you, again, get yourself narrowed down to who that exact customer is for you. And that's the formula, yeah, remember, you know, eventually.
I remember the first time when I launched the first brand, Alpha Killa Athletics. I remember like wondering, like, damn, like how much do I charge people? And like, I didn't really truly understand, like, you know, like my value. So I kind of just tried to look at like what most people were being traded and kind of just pulled a number out of like thin air and was like, oh, I'm just going to run with that. But
yeah,
I didn't, you know, again, but this is, you know, 22-year-old.
Yeah. And you make those mistakes, you know, that's all part of the game too. Cause you start to realize you do start to, as you gain mastery and experience in what you're doing, what you're passionate about, the value does go up. Because you think about all the times I've read these books, all the knowledge I've taken in, all the practical application, all the bodies I've worked with. I've worked with hundreds of people. You can't buy that experience. That is mm-hmm. something unique to me. So when it comes to a price point of what I charge, this is the price I'm going to charge. This is what I believe the worth is, you know. And some people will understand that and they'll pay no problem. There's some people say, I can find it somewhere else. Not my customer. That's fine. And there's some people, you know, generally can't afford it. But you know what? They may just go recommend you to someone who can. And that's that's the value of, again, always being authentic. And again, building those connections, having those conversations. You know, it's funny. Sales used to be a weak point for me. I used to be kind of afraid when I was, you know, younger and, you know, asking for the sale and negotiating sales. Cause I always, you know, I always felt, you know, the fear of rejection or, you know, what about when you get the in-between person that necessarily can't afford to pay, but they want to, but they still want to do your service. Well, what do? You know, do I compromise? Do I not compromise? You know, those used to be one of my weaknesses, but it became a strength when I again went back to what the value was, understanding that I wouldn't sell, you know, you wouldn't sell a Maserati for $15,000. You know, it commands a price. It commands a price point. And, you know, be grateful that you did the work so that you have something that valuable.
I think that's like, you know, that lesson right there took me a little while to realize as well. Like, you know, if I put in the work already, then I shouldn't have to hesitate if, you know, if somebody can't afford or hesitate to give a number that may seem like absurd to somebody. Because I know I'm confident in my ability. And, you know, again, like you said, like if they can't afford it, then you're not my customer. But there is somebody out there who they see it, they'll like the number, they'll appreciate it, and they'll go for it. But, you know,
absolutely.
Definitely, like, at the very best, you know, your value.
Yeah. And at the very best, you can always become an endorser, as I call it. Someone who speaks someone who will speak highly of you, someone who will be on the lookout for when you have a promotion or you have some type of giveaway, someone that's going to be actively involved. I've had many customers that started off like that, who necessarily couldn't afford me at my regular price point, but when I offered a sale or a perfect example, one of my best months, Amazing May promotion came along, they couldn't say no. And they were able to buy in at that point. And eventually, when they saw the value, it did come in, they understood why the price point was where it was, why the price was so high, when in reality it really wasn't that high. It made sense. And they bought in eventually, you know. And then there's some who do stay for the, you know, the promotion. That's all they can afford. And you're happy with them. They got results. They got what you wanted. I gained a profit. And now you also are promoting my business actively. They're literally a walking promotion. So you help me grow in the long term. So it's going to come back to me.
Absolutely. All right. So, you know, being an athlete, us both being athletes, I want to get into this conversation now about, first of all, we're going to talk about like the bodybuilding phase. That you went through, and then we're gonna get into the strongman phase, and then we're gonna get into this triathlete. So we're gonna start with the bodybuilding phase.
Oh yeah.
Why bodybuilding? Like, tell me, like, what piqued your interest with bodybuilding? Like,
I know it makes me laugh to this day because people say, "How did you actually get on stage in a?" We call them posing trunks, but you know, people say, why are you on stage in a thong? It's like, it's not a thong. It's posing trunks. It's not a thong. It's posing trunks. And, you know, they're like, well, no, Nate, that's kind of sus. And so I was like, no, it's not. It's no, no, it's not. It's artwork, you know, in my opinion.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, it was art. You know, what piqued my interest was.
I get it.
In the beginning, it was the little insecurity of, oh, I want girls to like me. Girls will probably like me if I have bigger muscles. And then I get the bigger muscles and girls still don't like me. And it was just like, woo. But, you know, I was jacked. So I didn't care at that point. And then when I saw, hey, I can go on stage and win, I ran into a coach, Coach Trey. He was my first coach ever. He said, you know, if you just bring up all the, you know, your lagging muscle groups, you could actually do really well. And, you know, he took me under his wing. He showed me exactly how to train, what to eat. You know, he pointed me in the right videos to watch. I must have watched the Ronnie Coleman Unbelievable documentary on like a weekly basis, like religiously for years. That was like my motivation video right there. And I just took what I watched and I applied it. I went when I did my first show in 2015. I know you and Drace just talked about that photo shoot that I paid him for. That was the photo shoot before I stepped on stage for the first time, actually. So, you know, when I showed up to the shoot and, you know, I take off the shirt and I'm just in pose and I'm just in like my trunks. He's just like, yo, what happened? There's like veins on your, like, there's like veins everywhere. And I'm like, yeah, man, I'm starving. I'm like a day out from the show. I'm hungry.
He's oh my
like,
gosh.
He's just like, yo, I've never seen.
I don't mean to cut you off, bro, but every time like it reminds me of that day. I see you in the cafeteria, in the college cafeteria that day up in, I think it was like upper north or something like that.
Yep.
And you were sitting in there by yourself and you just looked so like hungry and like exhausted. And I'm like, what in the hell is going on? But I had this, I mean, that's when you, I mean,
yeah,
I,
man, had realized I had to win.
Like doing the training, but I was like, Jesus Christ. Like,
I had to win.
You literally like you were about to keel over and
you're
die.
You're a zombie. Like, And that's where people get that misconception that bodybuilding is a healthy sport. It's not a healthy sport. Mm-hmm. It's very far from healthy, actually. If you do it right, you can be okay. But for a majority of people who get into it, the results are very, very disastrous. You know, a lot of people develop eating disorders from the sport. Some people develop, you know, what they call the post-show depression, where you realize, oh, you can't look like that all year round. Eventually you're going to go back to like having, you know, a decent body, but you're not going to look ripped like you did on stage. So if you're not mentally tough to say, oh yeah, this is my off-season body, this is my in-season body, it's really going to mess with your mind, you know, where you're binge eating or the complete opposite spectrum, not eating enough at all. And, you know, it can really harm you. But, you know, I love the glory. I love the praise. And I loved also being able to inspire large audiences. When I would step on a stage, I always got a lot of commendation on my stage presence. So like how I smiled, how I would pose, how I would flex, how I would bring the energy to the stage, bring life to the posing. And when you hear the yelling, you hear the clapping and the cheering, and then you hear people come up to you and they're telling you, you know, man, I wish I could perform that way. Teach me. I want to, you know, like that to me, you know, it gave me life. It made me feel good, because even though deep down inside I felt horrible and I didn't necessarily feel the best about myself, I'm happy that someone could take what I was doing, you know, as a coping mechanism to issues I have in my life, and they could better themselves with it. So it was like, it was a privilege, in my opinion, to be used in that way. That's what, you know, really brought me into the bodybuilding.
Yeah. My gosh. So tell me, what year did you like kind of like start training for it?
Bodybuilding, I did bodybuilding starting in 08, you know, as like a teenager, you know, kind of like, I was not so serious about it. I got really serious at age 17, and that's when I was like, I'm definitely going on stage and I'm doing this. I did my first show at 23, and then I retired from bodybuilding. Let's see, I'd retired from bodybuilding age 24. I let it go. I finished off with classic physique. No, I let bodybuilding go. Was it 2019? It was right after the modeling offer. 2019 was the year I finished, because that's when I finished at the Jay Cutler Classic, and I was also competing over in Connecticut. So I let it go in 2019. That's when I crossed over to Strongman, and I started Strongman year of 2020. Because Strongman 2020. So yeah, that was a good five, how many years would you say? So 17 to 20,
27, you said?
It would have been 20, because 2020, I would have been, I'm 29 now. So 28, 27-ish. Yeah, so almost about 10 years I did bodybuilding. And then, yeah, I crossed over to strongman. And, you know, strongman for me was very much, you know, it was starting something where I had to be strong inside and out. Strongman taught me a lot about life, because when you do strongman, you can't look strong. You have to be actually strong. I mean, when I got into the strongman and I realized I couldn't even pick up a 60-pound stone and get it to my shoulder, but I look ripped. It was just like, well, wow, that looks fraudulent. And, I, you know, you feel exposed because you're like, well, how do you have these veins and stuff, but you can't pick up a little? And that's when I was like, well, I have to get strong inside out. I can't just look strong. So I had to learn to eat differently. Again, I had to go back to the books. What do strong men eat? What is the daily life like? Understanding the ins and outs of it, so I can be better at it. I had to learn to lift with. Yeah.
Sorry, my bad. I didn't mean to cut you off. Oh, but yeah. I just wanted for you just to quickly distinguish, just in case anybody if you can kind of just like distinguish like the difference between bodybuilding and strongman for those who don't know.
Oh yeah, so bodybuilding
may just like entertain like this, you know, in a few
absolutely years. So there is a very big difference with bodybuilding and strongman. Bodybuilding is completely subjective. It's based off looks, it's based off taper and the conditioning of your body. You're shooting for a look. So if you're a bodybuilding male, it's about, you know, being the most muscular. If you're a woman's bikini competitor, it's about having the correct proportions, the right physique, and being, you know, lightly conditioned to look, you know, look physically attracting. Strongman is about truly how strong are you when you test the different feats of strength with implements, such as, for example, stones, like big guy. Great thing I always use to describe strongman is when you see guys on TV pulling jets or cars or, you know, fire trucks with ropes and stuff like that. No, that is strongman.
Like, damn, like, sheesh.
And it's a lot of fun. Strongmen also, some cases, they don't look bodybuilding strong. Strongmen are just huge. You know, there's a term we use called you need a keg to lift a keg. Most strongmen are going to be like pretty big. So I had my keg. I loved when I was 220 as a strongman.
I've seen it, man. I'll be like,
hey, I had the keg and I loved it.
I've actually kind of questioned, like, how heavy is that keg? Like,
yeah. The keg? Well, like, the keg.
Like, I don't even know. I feel like I probably can, but like, I mean, obviously learning the technique, you know, I can learn.
Technique learn it pretty fast,
but
everything.
I'm like, yo, it looks, but it just looks like, why does that look like it's. It doesn't look easy at all.
And that's also what attracted me to the sport, because I like my wife says all the time, you just love to do the extreme stuff. You can't just be somewhere in the middle, Nate. You have to be to the left, absolutely, to the right, to the up, to the down. Like, and I'm like, well, yeah, like
I love the challenge. You know, I love to just know that this bar is all the way up there. Okay,
that's
cool.
That's it.
Now you're giving me a reason to go get it.
Exactly. So, you know, that's where strongman comes into play, because you are challenging your strength. You are building true strength. I mean, grip strength. You're building ability to brace. You're building your work capacity. So, you know, some of my best moments came, you know, with strongman, like realizing just how strong I actually can be if I mentally lock in, if I stop paying attention to what my looks are at all, and I pay attention to my actual tasks at hand, just how strong I could become. At my best, at my peak in strongman, I was at 215. I could yoke with 600 pounds. I could circus dumbbell press 145. I could overhead press 225. Yoke. So the yoke is when you carry that big frame on your shoulders and you basically run with it for distance.
Got it.
Yeah,
right,
so I could do a 600 yoke. I could pull 500 off the ground for dead, not too much struggle. I could overhead press 225. I could circus dumbbell 145. I mean, the things I used to do, I could shoulder a 225 stone on my shoulder. There were so many different things. And I could also log press over 200 pounds. So, like, the thing, it was, like, very much this is so cool, But I know Father Time gonna catch up to me, and my joints are not gonna take this much longer. So I gotta get out of there. Like I can't do it. I can't do it. And at that time, I had just gotten proposed to my wife, and it was one of those things where do I spend all this time training, or do I be with my wife? I know where I want to be. I know where I need to be. So, you know, I had to find something, a new sport that fit my new lifestyle, being a married man, being a full-time worker, and triathlon turned out to be that thing for me. Most people don't know. I couldn't swim until actually this summer. But me and my wife, it's funny.
I still have a problem with like swimming. Like I don't know if you did in college, but I had to take basic water swim and safety. I had to take that class. And then like, that was like, it wasn't like a super struggle for me, but it was just like, it exposed my conditioning. Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
Like when she was like, yeah, the only way you can really pass this class is if like you're able to swim the length of the pool.
Yeah.
And mind you, like I had no idea that everybody had like swam the length of the pool. I was the only one by the end of that semester who hadn't done it yet. I was like, when the hell did the rest of y'all do this?
Yep.
So now I'm
like, ask me how many swim instructors I've had in my life.
Oh my God. Forget it. I had eight. I tried it as a child. And I was a punk. I was like, mama, don't. Yep. I was like, take me out of swimming. I was like, I am not doing this. I am going to die drowning. I don't want this. Take me out of
the water. Eight people try to teach me. That's how unteachable I am. So I always had in my head that, you know what? God didn't put me on this earth to swim, so I just gave it up. I let it go. I was like, eight people have tried to teach me, including my own clients have tried to teach me. One of my favorite clients of all time, Leslie. She was a college level diver, and she was a fish. She could swim laps. No, I barely got to the end of the pool, and I probably drank half the pool in chlorine by the time I got down there. I never learned it until I moved to Florida, you know, until it was basically put in my, I was kind of not put into the situation. I'll tell you how it happened. I was, my wife, you know, she has a very good way of challenging me. And, you know, we were talking one day and, you know, we couldn't have come to an agreement on it, but I was like, you know what? I'm gonna go swim. And I was so it's like I go down to the pool. I walk down to the pool. We have a pool in the backyard, and I'm looking at the pool, and I'm panicking. I'm like, well, I didn't mean I was gonna learn today. And I was just like, well, I can't go back on my word now. I already told her I'm gonna go swim. So it started with exposure therapy. I still have it saved in my phone. I literally would wake up because I didn't want anybody to see me, and no life. And so I wake up at 5 to go to the pool. To stand on the 3-foot end of the pool, just stand in the water and see how long I could stand in the water without freaking out and panicking. In my first session, I lasted exactly 5 minutes, 12 seconds. And I had to get out of the water. That's truly where it started. Then it was like the next day I did it for 6 minutes. The next day after that, I did it for 7 minutes. And then I did it for 8, I did it for 9, I did it for 15. I got up to about 10 minutes and I said, okay, I'm going to try to float for just 60 seconds. And I got 6 seconds and I put my feet immediately back on the ground. Then tried 90 seconds, put my feet immediately back on the ground. And I started to get more relaxed, started to get more calm. And, you know, out here in Florida, we have these really nice sunrises. I started to just gaze and look at the sunrise. And then eventually I just find myself naturally floating. And I was just like, oh, wow, this is kind of nice. But I didn't know what to do next. So I started to watch, you know, YouTube videos on how to swim and so forth. And I would take what I learned on the YouTube videos and apply them to the pool that we have here. That's only like 4 feet, 5 feet deep at its max. So I can stand up no matter what. And it started with the breaststroke. I learned the breaststroke and, you know, it was very inefficient. It would take me like 5 minutes to get to from one end to the other, but my foot never touched the floor. And I was like, oh my goodness, I'm swimming. And then I said, well, let me try the front crawl. And then, you know, I'm like splashing the water and I do like a few fronts. I do like 4 arm pulls and then I'd be tired. I'd have to go back to breast. But I did a little front crawl there. And eventually I was able to do a length and that turned into lengths. That turned into a 10-minute swimming workout that burned me calories. That turned into a half hour. And, you know, here we are now, December of 2022, having started in July of 2022. I'm swimming the Olympic pool now. It's 14 feet deep. No problem. I do 100 meter lengths. Like, it's fine. It's a workout. Like, I can do a good half hour to 45 minutes of just pool work with pool boys, with the fins. I mean, it's a lot of fun. And it was like, I already bike hard. I already, I have a background in running. Let me, now that I actually can do it, I can do a triathlon. And I immediately signed up for my first one. Once I saw I could swim, all I need to do is just be a better swimmer. I already put a date on it. I was like, July 7th, Fort DeSoto Olympic Triathlon, Olympic distance. Half mile swim, 20 mile bike, 6.2 run. It's doable. Let's go.
Let's do it. Oh.
Yep. Let's do it. And I got swim. I have a Olympic swim coach now. So she's like refining me. So I did the groundwork, learning some stuff, but now I'm actually getting good coaching.
You know, it's so amazing that we sometimes forget that even like as like coaches, like even like we need coaches, like, you know, like sometimes I feel like everybody feels like we're like an expert at like everything, and I'm like,
oh no,
listen, I know I couldn't tell you diddly squat. I might be like a multi-athlete, but believe me, even myself, like, yeah, I still need a coach. Like, I
absolutely
use a coach because I'm just like I don't know everything, and I'm like, I need somebody who's been here longer than me and they know more and they can help refine my
tools. Don't grow if you don't have
one. It for you.
Exactly. I mean, you don't grow if you're not learning. You know, I mean, I have things I don't like to do either. I mean, look how long I swept swimming under the rug. I mean, I laugh about it all the time with Andres, but I did a whole photo shoot at the beach coming out of the water, and I know I can't swim. Everybody knows you can't get in the water, Nate. Like, it's cap. It was all cap. You know what I mean? Like, just, it was too funny. Like, I have to have a coach. I mean, I've had a coach pretty much my entire athletic career. Coach Trey was my bodybuilding coach. Coach Mike was my strongman coach. And now Rachel is my swim coach. So he helps me with my swimming and so forth. So, you know, they coaches find the things that you necessarily don't want to work on, but they also they tell you what you need to work on. A good coach will find what you need to do and make sure that you do it. And that's what I appreciate, that accountability. And also, it's humility on our part to say, yeah, I need help. You know, it's okay that I need help. You know, yeah, I'm LTI, I'm your coach, but I need a coach too, you know?
Absolutely. No, I'm the same way. I wish I had like coaching like early on, you know, because I've been an athlete since like 6 years old, and I have never had like actual like personal coach to really teach me like the ins and outs. It wasn't until like 16 that I actually learned, like, I heard the term strength and conditioning. Like, I actually like learned how to like lift and stuff like that. It wasn't until 16 that before then it was just me just going out, doing sports, just doing static stretches, not knowing that I'm not supposed to be doing static stretches at the beginning.
You're doing the Damian Lillard YouTube video. You're doing whatever you saw, the Kobe motivational video, but not knowing where those clips even came from, if that was at practice or pregame. Yeah,
exactly. So I'm like, it took me a minute to like realize, like, yo, like, I imagine like where I could have been had I had like coaching early on, and like where my body would be like now, like, because I feel like I've, you know, what I have now, I mean, thank God, it's just, I'm, you know, genetically blessed, so I haven't had to do
some people just
much.
Have it.
I haven't had to do too much work, but it was just the fact that if I had somebody in my ear a lot earlier, I most definitely feel like I could be like a pro athlete.
And I'm for me, and that, I feel
I could be a pro athlete.
And I feel that exact same way. Like, whatever sport I fall in love with, like, I have that. One thing about me, like, a trait I have is I have an ability to really just focus on, like, one particular thing. Like, I can't just do something halfway. Like, my wife will tell you, you have to know she'll say, you have to just know the ins and outs of everything. Like, you become almost obsessive over it, you know, which is good, you know, in that sense, because you're like, you're going to find the best way. You're going to find what works. I mean, if I learned how to swim, you know, years ago, I think about, man, how I could have done triathlon so much sooner, because it's a lot of fun and I really do enjoy it. It's not like, you know, I'm struggling to learn the swimming and the technique. It's just that I'm just a beginner, you know, but imagine if I did have those years of practice in swimming. Oh, man, I'd be, oof, who knows? Who knows?
Nah, most definitely. I feel that for sure. All right. So through your journey so far, like, you know, from 2008 to like right now, what have you learned about yourself, and what are you currently still learning about yourself? Like, what are you still working on, improving on?
Absolutely. Well, the one of the biggest things I learned, you know, came from the year, you know, in 2017, when I found out, you know, exactly, you know, that I had PTSD and I had OCD as well as anxiety. That was probably one of the biggest things I learned about myself, particularly because it helped me understand, you know, why it helped me understand how my trauma was really impacting like my life decisions, the choices I made. And once you, I understood like what I had and, you know, why I did the things I did, why, you know, I was wired the way I was, it helped me learn how to manage and how to cope. It helped me understand, gain tools of how do I live, you know, in this world with anxiety? How do I live with PTSD? How do I, you know, deal with these things and not have, you know, outbursts or have attacks? You know, what do I do when I have an attack? You know, I have a wife now. Like, how do I tell her what to do if she sees me having a moment or I'm struggling? How do I help her help me, you know, in those type of situations? Having the answers allowed me to do, again, more research and figure out how do I live? You know, one of the biggest things, you know, I learned is just how much, you know, exercise really is my drug of choice for managing my mental health disorders that I have. I don't treat with medication. I tried that once at one point in my life. Did not work for me. But the natural high of exercising always works. I've never had a bad reaction with it, and it's always helped me. So you combine that with prayer, meditation, and having a great wife. Mm-hmm. That is my system. That is my oasis. That is what keeps LTI together. I've learned I cannot do life. I cannot do things on my own. I am not that strong. I'm actually very frail. I need help. I need friends. I need love. I need support. My wife will tell you, I'm a teddy bear. I need hugs. You know, I need attention, you know? So knowing that I need a team and I have a team, I have great friends that I can call, not even friends, my brothers. I have to have that teamwork. I have to have the support. And most importantly, I have to have that close relationship with God. Most importantly, that's what I've learned in those last 10 years.
All right. So I have a segment on my podcast called Game, G-A-M-E. It's broken down as Gems About Me. So I'll ask a question or a statement, and you just answer it to the best of your ability. Sure. None of your answers will be judged. So, you know, however you want to answer it, it's all up to you.
Absolutely. Right.
So first one is, my name is, and I am...
My name is Nathaniel Young, and I'm Mr. LTI.
First thing I do when I wake up is
read my Bible and get some exercise in.
Early bird or night owl?
Early bird all day.
I think you might have just answered this, but to cope with stress, I
cope with stress, pray, meditate, exercise. And talk to my wife.
Yo, I think Dre. What did Dre? I think Dre said the same thing. He's like, I think that was one of his answers. Like, I talked to my wife. I was like, oh, interesting.
Absolutely. Because, you know, at the end of the day, it ain't about me no more. You know, if I'm walking around with an angry face, she. It's like, what did I? She, you know, I can't have her. Like, well, what did I do? She's got it. She needs to know. You know, be kept in the loop.
No, you're not. You are right. You are right. Definitely. All right. This one here, I think I might know the answer, but strongman or bodybuilding?
Oh, absolutely. Strongman all day. Definitely strongman. I love bodybuilding because of the tools I gained in bodybuilding, but strongman is where my heart is all day. I love to eat. I love to lift heavy things. I love to not have to look strong. I love actually being strong in that way. Got to go with the strongman community all day.
Who is someone in the industry that you would like to meet?
There's a few. Yeah, absolutely. The first person I would love to meet is Dan John, actually. I actually talked with Dan a couple of times over 2020. I actually had the pleasure of speaking with him over the phone. And he's just a very down to earth and very humble person. I have actually.
You might just tell the audience who he is.
Absolutely. Dan John is actually, he's a former Olympian. He's actually still an Olympic weightlifting athlete, and he coaches. He also does seminars. He's a public speaker. He has a ton of different books. Some of his noteworthy ones are Fat Loss Made Easy, Can You Go, Before We Go, and some of his other, and Mass Made Simple. His books are basically his philosophy on life, on lifting, on training, and he just makes things very clear. And he does his writing in a way that that every everyday person can benefit, not just, you know, an exercise professional who knows the ins and outs of exercise, but someone who just wants to understand, how do I get 1% better each day? He's one of those top three people I want to meet, along with what's his name? I'm blanking on his name. Mike Boyle. He's another person I failed to meet when I was in Boston.
I met him. I think the last time when I went up there a few months ago, to his facility up in Woburn.
Yeah. Yep. MBSC.
I met him firsthand. I was up there with Ben Connolly.
Coach Connolly, as I call him.
Coach Connolly. I met him. I was like, damn, like, this is like, yeah, you are the man, the myth right here. I'm meeting him right now. So like, it was nice talking to him. So I'm actually glad, very happy to say that I've met him.
I can imagine. Yeah. Cause I mean, one thing Ben always told me about him too, is that he'll always remember something about you. Like, no matter how, whatever client you are, athlete, he'll always remember a name, and he'll remember something about you that connects you. So to me, that's impressive, you know, because he deals with large groups. So to be able to do that, I think that's real. That shows just the quality and where his business is. And it shows me what he prioritizes. You know, if you can't connect with your audience, if you don't, you know, connect with them and you really make them feel valued, even so much as remembering a name, that goes such a long way when it comes to retention. So that's big.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. All right. One last thing. What are you manifesting for 2023?
For me, for 2023, I think for me, it's to continue to, again, learn to be married, learn to be a husband, continue to grow as a husband, continue to grow as a spiritual man, to definitely improve as a triathlete. So I definitely want to get my first triathlon out of the way, but ultimately I want to progress to Ironman distance triathlon. So that's one thing I'm manifesting, to build my endurance. And someone asked me this the other day. So my New Year's resolution, learn to cook with ingredients I've never used. That's another thing I'm manifesting. I've never heard of a parsnip. I've never used that before. There's so many things I haven't cooked with yet that I'm like, I'm learning to cook with and learn to like, you know. So that's a big one for me. But as far as LTI, you ain't getting it out of me. You just have to wait and see. Like everyone else, trust me, people ask me, get back on, you know, social media, bring LTI back, you know, I'm like, LTI will come back when it's time.
Listen,
it's time. Right now, I'm enjoying being married. You know the
bigger plan, so listen, it'll show up when it needs to.
Yep.
All right, one last thing before we kind of wrap it up. What gems would you give to those aspiring to get into, say, like the bodybuilding or becoming a triathlete or strongman? Like what would you say to those who are like, you know, I'm interested in it, but I'm just kind of, they're a little stubborn about, you know, taking that first step.
Absolutely. Well, the first thing I always like to, you know, get the big picture. You know, before, when you think about trying to get into bodybuilding or triathlon or strongman, think about your lifestyle and, you know, how that would affect your lifestyle and how you would implement that into your lifestyle. Think about what you're already doing now. If you're a casual gym goer who only goes every now and then, or if you're like a frequent person who's going all the time, think about what you're going to need to do if you're interested in getting into those sports. you know, when you think about bodybuilding, it's a full on commitment. Bodybuilding it can be a very selfish sport, and a lot of your personal relationships can suffer because of it. So understanding, you know, what lifestyle you want to live and understanding how that affects those around you. With Strongman, better have the funds because you're going to have to eat a lot. So your grocery bill is going to double, triple. Understand, you got to have some coins, and, you know, understand that, you know, cardio, doing like, you know, long cardio or endurance training, not going to work. You're going to have to, it requires your full commitment, you know, understand the demands. And as far as triathlon too, my biggest thing that I learned was, again, education, because everything with triathlon is completely different from strongman and bodybuilding. I don't eat the same. I don't train the same. I only actually weight train twice a week for about 50 minutes each. As opposed to a strongman, you're doing like 4 days, bodybuilding sometimes 4-6 days. I do only 2 weight training sessions a week, and they're circuit training. But I hit about 6 to 8 different sessions of run, bike, and swim in with varying combinations throughout the week. So understand like where your time's going to be spent. Right. Think about, you know, what kind of work you do. So like if you're a sedentary person and you're just sitting all day, think about, you know, if you're pounding calories all day to keep up, to gain weight and, you know, lift these heavy loads, what that's going to do to your body long term, you know, not getting enough activity, not moving around enough. If you're someone who's always on the go, like you're, you know, you work for like UPS or something like that, you're getting like 20,000 steps a day. Are you really about to come home and, you know, do a 10-mile run? You know, you got to think about, you know, how that's going to fit into your lifestyle. If you're a family man with, you know, 5 mouths to feed, you know, can you really afford to eat 10 ounces of chicken breasts every meal, or everybody else is getting, you know, you know, a little bone or something? Like you have to, it has to make sense. Make it make sense. Right. So, think about your life and whole, and then make your decision about what you're going to dive into. Cause I've seen it too many times, being in the fitness industry 10 years, people get into something and they don't think about what that's actually going to look like for you 3 months from now, 6 months from now, even a month from now. It's like, you already sit 40 hours a week and you come to me about back pain. You eating more and continuing to do things that don't require you to move throughout the day, it's not helping your cause. You know, like, you got to think to think. Yep.
No, you're right. I've heard it a million times.
Yep. Think.
All right.
That's my big gem.
So, if you could just leave us off with the greatest, the best gem that you've ever heard.
Mm-hmm. The best gem. Well,
let's phrase it this way. Like a gem a gem that you kind of just like, you walk by it faithfully, like every day, you know, like,
absolutely.
I mean, sure everybody's got like many of them. Like I have many of them, but there's always just like one. It's just like, every day, yep. Like I remember this, I can repeat. I repeat it back to somebody, and like this is the first thing I would tell you.
Absolutely, the first. It's actually a question, believe it or not. My gem, because I ask this question to myself on a daily basis, sometimes an hourly basis. It's taken from Dan John. It was actually the name of one of his books that he wrote that I loved. It's called "Can You Go?" And the idea behind that phrase, can you go, when you ask yourself, can you go, it's, you know, no matter what's going on in your life or what's actually happening, you know, the car broke down, you know, your food is spoiled, whatever. Can you still go? Can you still make it to the gym? Can you still get this session? Can you still do what I need of you? If you can, if the answer is yes, then let's go. If the answer is no, then go home. I don't need you. You know, if you're in a game, right, and I need you to make the game winning shot. I don't care that, you know, you've had a bad day, your ex-girlfriend or whatever, it broke your heart and, you know, this that happened in the day. Can you make the shot? Because we need to win the game. Mm-hmm. The answer is yes, let's go. The answer is no, well, then go home. You wasted, you know, what's the point of you being this great if when I need you, you're failing me, you know? So when I find myself in hard, difficult situations or I find myself discouraged, you know, my dad would do it to me all the time, especially when it would come showtime and I'd be hungry, trying to get on that stage or... at my strongman event, I will hear him, you know, yell. He will say, can you go, Nate? And, you know, that will snap me into my mindset of, Well, I'm not finna say no, you know, yes, I can. Doesn't matter what I'm going through. Yes, I can go. I can always go. That's my question. So whatever you're going through, it's like my clients tell you all the time, don't bring your stories to Nate because he's going to ask you that question and you're going to have to hold it. Because, you know, doesn't matter if you party, doesn't matter if, you know, you didn't do what you were supposed to do on your homework. And this is what I had planned for you if you did your work. And now we're going to have to readjust or we're going to have to scale back. I'm going to ask the same question. All right. But can you go? And it's just like, all right, Nate. It's just like, yeah, all right. All right then, let's go.
Oh my gosh, yo, that's fire though. I love that, bro. I love that. That's the first gem that's actually been posed as a question, but I love that. Yep. All right, audience, dog, it was a great conversation we had here. Make sure y'all follow, actually quickly drop your socials and stuff like that so people can tap in with you before we close it out.
Yep. Yes, sir. Follow Millennial Gems Podcast. And of course, and depending on if I know you, I might accept your friend request. You can follow me at NYLTI if I know you. That's my personal account. So if I say yes, because, okay, you know, we cool. Like, if I don't say yes, well, then wait for when LTI does his thing. And then we can be friends on that platform. Yep.
Heard you.
Sorry.
All right, guys.
Not sorry.
I feel it. It's all right. It's understood. As Nate said, yo, make sure y'all following the podcast, Millennial Gems podcast. Make sure you also subscribe to the YouTube channel. Turn on those post notifications. Also, you can also find me, you know, your boy, KILLAATM_FitAndBiz. It's been another great episode of Millennial Gems podcast. Make sure y'all stay blessed. Stay gemmed up.